It's a blessing to be here this morning, and it's a blessing to have our guest preacher, Brother Joe Mandrino. And he can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was 20 years as a missionary in Asia and 15 years as a pastor at Edmond Road Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And that's a blessing. It really is. And I know when I talked to him a while back, he asked me as far as what to preach or if we had any theme. And I just asked him to preach a message that would challenge the church, as the Lord would lead him, of course. And, you know, I think it's good to be challenged. It is. It's good to be challenged. And the Lord knows our needs. He knows our individual needs today. He also knows the needs of our church. And I believe he'll provide those in this message this morning. So, Brother Mandrino, would you please come this morning? It is a blessing to have you here with us this morning, you and your wife. And thank you for coming and preaching.
Our blessing. And I've got four passages of scriptures that I'm going to share with you. And so I'm going to ask the ushers, lock the doors. Don't let anybody out right now. Because they're counting already. Four examples and two. Well, he's going to be here for hours. No. I know there's food in the other room. Yeah, so I will do my best to get you out and so we can enjoy the rest of the day. But thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, to share some things with you. And I want to introduce my wife. My wife, Millicent, has been my dear, faithful wife for almost, well, now 60 years. And we met in high school. You know, that's going really way back. And I got to share this with you because you say, well, you know, so what? So most of us met our wives or friends in high school. But let me just tell you about my high school experience. You see, I was born and raised as a Catholic in upstate New York. And when I got saved, things really changed my life. I mean, let's face it, being saved is a life-changing experience, is it not? And so when I was a youngster in high school, I went to a Catholic boys' school. I mean, it was next to prison. I mean, you know, it's just a boys' school. And I went there, and boy, I'll tell you what, I went for 2 years, and the third year, I just couldn't take it anymore. So they asked me if I would leave. They were nice about it. They just said, I think you need to go somewhere else. And so I went to a public school, you know. Now, you got to understand something. Here's a 15-year-old teenage boy coming out of an all-boys school and going into a public school where there's females. And you know, this causes problems. I mean, yeah, let's face it, you're trying to readjust. You know how that is? And I remember when I got in history class and there were, rows of seats, and there my wife was sitting across from me, or this girl was sitting across from me, and so I got to realize that there's only one way to handle this situation. I would just raise my hand and said, sir, I forgot my book at home, and I studied last night, and I forgot my book at home. He said, oh, Joe, just slide over next to another student. And it's been like that for 60 years, amen. So praise God. You know, there's some good things that come out of schooling. You know, praise the Lord for that. But I want you to know that I was born and raised, as I said, out of Catholicism. And I had spent 8 years in the military, Air Force. And when I got out of the Air Force, I went back home. We were from upstate New York, Rochester, New York. It's on Lake Ontario, just across from Canada. And so when I went back to Rochester, and we raised a family, six children, five boys and one girl. And so when we were back in Rochester, New York, and I worked for Eastman Kodak Company for a while, and then that didn't suit me, and I just had trouble adjusting with all of that foolishness, and I ended up in a nightclub business in New York. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, you look like one of those guys. Huh? I spent about 3 or 4 years managing nightclubs. My wife also worked part-time as a waitress and stuff. And let me just share this with you, because I'm getting to the point that's important, is that being in a nightclub business for that many years, not conducive for a good marriage. Our marriage was struggling. Nightclub business is not a good place, a good thing to be involved in. And so within time, it got to the point where our marriage was about ready to collapse. And praise God, a friend of ours that we went to school with, who had become a child of God, got saved, suggested that her pastor come and visit us at our home. And so he called and asked for an appointment, and my wife pleaded with me about this and said, the only time he can come is Saturday evening, and can we just be home and let him come out? A Saturday night in a nightclub business is a big deal. I mean, that's a busy night. And so I said, let's struggle with this one. It was a struggle. I said, okay, all right. If he comes, then maybe I can get out of here early and go back to work. So he didn't come to our house until about 9 o'clock. And I had never met a Baptist preacher in my life. I had no idea what they looked like. And so 9 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and I almost had a cardiac arrest. I just nervous about all of this. So there was a Baptist preacher come to my home. And when I looked at him, he was neatly dressed, a sharp young man. He was my age, and guess what? He was an ex-Air Force, spent four years in the Air Force, and we just hit it off. There's a lot of things we talked about. Well, anyway, from 9 o'clock until midnight, we talked about the Lord. Talked about that big, thick King James Bible sitting on my coffee table. It was just a tradition to have one in your house, you know. And I remember him asking me, have you ever read that? You know, or he'd mention a passage and ask me if I knew about it. Oh, yeah, I know. I know about the Bible. Yeah, what do you know? I read about Samson. You know, I know about him and a couple other things. You know, you just fake your way through all of this. But when he began to read in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember thinking about that, and he said, what does that mean to you? And I said, well, I don't know. God loves the world. Okay. What? Well, I don't know. Animals and pets and, you know, cities and people, you know, God. No. So he said, well, what about if we just put, for God so loved Joe Mandrino? How do you feel about that? I said, well, I don't know about that. I really don't. Well, he said, that's what I want to share with you. So he went through the Gospel of John and those passages, took me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. He that has the Son has life. He asked me that question. Have you got the Son? You know, when you're caught in the corner, you're either going to get angry or you're going to get humorous, but you don't know how to do that. And so when he said to me, what about you? And I said, man, I don't have Jesus. I didn't even see him, you know. And I chuckle. But inside my heart wasn't funny, really. There's something lacking here. My marriage is on the rocks, and my life is, I'm 32 years old, and everything is upside down, and all of a sudden, here's a guy telling me that reading God's book and looking at it and said, what about you? Have you Jesus? And I said, no, I don't have Jesus. Would you like to have, I don't know him, I've never met him. He said, well, let me go through this again. He went back through John chapter 3 and come back through Nicodemus's talking to Jesus. It really rang a bell inside. No, I don't have Jesus. Why not? I don't know. I never heard it this way. Well, by the time midnight came, Millicent and Joe Mandrino were on their knees at their sofa at 303 Augustine Street, Rochester, New York, with a Baptist preacher they had never seen until that night. And when he flipped through the pages and read it once again, he that has the Son has life. We prayed. And about 2 minutes after, 3 minutes after midnight, when we got up off our knees in our living room, here was a Baptist preacher I'd never seen before, but there was something different about all of this right now. And I remember, he said to me, "I'll tell you what, if you got time, you come to church tomorrow at our church." He said, "You won't have to take that big Bible off your coffee table and bring it with you. He said, I'll get you one of your own." Okay? That's a pretty good deal. I said, "Okay, we'll see you in the morning." And so we surely did. And from that on, that time on, God changed our life. And I mean, he that has the Son has life. There's no doubt about that. If you've got him, you've got the real thing. But you need to, as individuals, we need to know that you have that responsibility. It's got to be you and him. It cannot be a group. It cannot be a religion. It cannot be even your church. It's got to be you. Individuals. I'm saved because I asked him, Jesus, to come into my heart and save me. My wife is saved because she asked the Lord. I heard her. And only you and God know whether you're saved or not. You know, you can talk about all you want to, but there's only two people that really know whether you've got the real thing, you and God. Amen? So this morning, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about that, but I just wanted to introduce myself to you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning, and I'm going to share some things with you about growing up in Christ. If there's anything we need to learn about Christ is that we can talk with him. You don't have to hide anything. You don't have to make believe with Jesus Christ. He knows the real you. And that's the wonder about being saved and having Christ as your Savior. But let's go to the word of Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our scriptures. Father, I want to thank you this morning. You have blessed us already, and our time we have spent together, we thank you for these that are here this morning, and I pray your blessings upon each individual as we come together and open the Word of God and talk about the greatness and the goodness of our Heavenly Father. But more than that, we talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself that we might be set free. This morning, dear God, would you bless us, forgive us of our sins, move in our hearts and move in our life and draw us to our Heavenly Savior like never before. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I talked to your pastor, we talked about you coming, you know, coming and preaching here. And we talked about, well, I said, "Are you having a missions conference?" He said, "No, it's not a missions conference." And I said, "Okay, so I know I don't have to be a missionary." Well, I've spent 20 years as a missionary in my life. I've spent 3 years in Singapore and 3 years in the Philippines and 10 years in China. And now I've been actually 17 years in Edmund Road Baptist Church in Oklahoma. And so now I'm retired. And that doesn't mean anything, you know. That really doesn't. Not for a preacher. You know, find something to do. But it's a wonderful thing. When I think about our background and where we've been and the things that we've done, it's been a real blessing that God has used us in so many countries and so many things that have happened to us. And that's what I want to share with you just a little bit. We're talking about getting saved. Well, I got saved March 29th, 1970. And from that moment, I was still in the nightclub business after I got saved. Well, I stayed in there about 2 months. You know, it was a strange thing. You get through with the nightclub at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go home, and I'd read my Bible, and I was having a terrible struggle in my heart about what's going on. I'm reading my Bible that I'm living in the world, especially in the nightclub business, that didn't mix. Something's wrong here. Something's got to go. And so that's the way life was for a while. Well, during that time, when I got saved in March 29th, it was quite a thing, because the 29th of March, the evening that we accepted Jesus as our Savior, and then Sunday, in New York it does, you know, after Saturday, Sunday follows, you know, in upstate New York, yeah. You have the same thing here. Okay. And so when we got off our knees of praying, and it was after midnight, and the preacher said, "My goodness," he said, it's after 12, but I said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, I'm sorry for keeping you so long." He said, "Well, you know, it's Sunday morning." I said, "Yeah, I know that. I mean, even an Italian from New York would know that, you know." And so, yeah, I said, "Okay, yeah, it's Sunday morning." He said, "Yeah, but today's Sunday morning is Easter Sunday morning." You know what? I thought if I was ever going to pick a time to get saved, what a great time to get saved. Amen? On Easter Sunday morning. It's significant. It meant something to me. Well, I'll tell you what has taken place. And I had this on my mind for a couple of months, still working at the nightclub business because we had, you know, five children. And it takes money to operate a family. And so I had to work. But it was bothering me. I just couldn't take a whole lot of that. And finally, I quit. I quit the nightclub business. I went and told my boss. I said, I can't take this anymore. I said, I've got to resign. What are you talking about? He said, we're building a new nightclub, and we got another one that we're going to open, and you can't leave. And I said, sir, I got to leave. Why? What's wrong? I said, I can't explain it to you. I just can't live like this anymore. I can't do this kind of work. What are you talking about? I said, well, something's happened recently in my life. And my boss, the owner of this business, was a very wealthy Jewish man. And he looked at me, and we were standing in the middle of a dance floor at 5 o'clock, opening for supper. And he looked at me and he said, what are you talking about? What happened? I said, it's just something that came into my life, and I just can't agree with what I'm doing. I've got to change my life. And he looked at me and just smirked, and he said, oh, Joe, he said, you got that old-time religion. For a Jewish man to say that, that's pretty significant, you know. He knew a little bit of, you know, a few things I didn't think he knew. He said, you've got that old-time religion. I said, I don't know if that's what it is or not, but what I've got is making a difference, and I've got to quit. So I just handed him the keys to this place, and I walked out the door. I know, trusting God, want to know something. Well, in that period of time, right after we got saved, I remember the kids inviting their friends to church, you know, on Sunday morning. Down in my living room, there might be 8 or 10 kids down there from the neighborhood by the time I got dressed to go to church on Sunday morning. Well, here were a bunch of kids sitting in our living room wanting to go to church with us. The kids were really good and, you know, missionaries. They were inviting their friends. And so I remember that. And so I remember one Saturday night when I was telling the kids, okay, get ready, get your clothes out for tomorrow morning, okay, so you know what's going on. And I said, just a minute, did you do your jobs today on Saturday? I said, that's the day you clean your gerbil cages. Gerbils. I said, where did you get gerbils from? Well, there were some neighbors that moved away from our neighborhood, and they just thought, they said to us, we just love you so much, we want to give these gerbils to your kids. I thought, what evidence of love that is. I mean, you got to know what I mean. Gerbils. Thank you so very much. I appreciate that. And what do you do with them? Well, you put them in the cage and the kids play with them. And so when it comes on Saturday, they clean out the cage. Well, when they had two of them cleaning the cage out, one of the kids was holding one of them. One of them escaped. And we lived in a 4-story house. You know, plenty of places to hide. Amen. And so this gerbil got loose. Listen, this is Christian testimony. Just hold on a minute. And this gerbil got loose, and so we got one, and the other one's escaping. He's running through the house somewhere. And we have a search party. Everybody gets out looking for a gerbil. Well, we couldn't find him. Saturday night, we got ready to go to bed. Dad, what about the gerbil? I said, well, he's on his own, whoever he is, wherever he is. Well, can we pray for him? What? Can we? Dad, don't we? Shouldn't we pray about this? And pray about what? Pray about a tailless mouse running around in my house? Let's pray and ask God. Listen, adults, are you feeling what I was feeling? Your kids say, Daddy, will you pray for the gerbil? And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you want me to do what? Pray. How do you pray for a gerbil? Hello? You're the leader. You're the head of the family. You're the dad. You got all the answers. How do you pray and ask God about a gerbil? I don't know. I said, okay, all right. Everybody come in here, in the kids' bedroom and the bunk beds, and everybody get around, gather around, let's have prayer. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm not going to talk about, ask you to help us with a gerbil. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, the father image, you know, I want to be a leader. I know I want to be helping my kids, but I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. Who cares about a dumb gerbil? So anyway, okay. Let's pray. We prayed about the gerbil. All right. Okay, Lord, thank you. Now, in my mind, as a father and as an adult, I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. But you know, I'm also the leader of the home. And they're coming to me, Dad, what do we do about the gerbil? Okay. One of the kids, well, let's pray. Let's ask God to take care of him. Yeah, that's right. Yep. That's a good idea. Let's do that. Okay. So when we prayed, everybody went to bed. Okay. Sunday morning, Chris, the third kid, he's downstairs roaming around. And like I said, it was a four-story house. And he's down in the basement getting something. And all of a sudden, he's screaming, Dad, I found them. And so he brings them up, and this thing looked like it had been through World War IV. You know, his fur was all matted, and he was kind of crippled, and one of his legs was messed up. And I don't know where he found them, but this thing had gone through a battle. So he brought him up. Look at Daddy, what are we going to do with him? I put him in his cage. Put him in a cage, give him some water, give him some food, and let's leave it, you know, okay. Well, by the time we put him back in the cage and he got fed and everything else, listen, this is going to result in a blessing. You know, just hold on a minute, okay? Don't anybody go anywhere yet. So the blessing was this thing, by the time we came back from church and everything else, this thing looked like he was ready for the Indianapolis 500. I mean, his fur was all smoothed down, and it looked like he got dressed up. I mean, he was something else. And he was in that, whatever they call those things that go around, you know, he was running that thing like he was getting ready for the race. And I said, is that the one that was downstairs? Yeah, that's him. Look at him. Boy, thank God for the kids, thank God. And I'm thinking, thank you. You know, in my doubt and the way I felt about being a prayer for a gerbil, to come to the creator of all things and ask him to take care of a gerbil? Are you serious? But it was this. It wasn't so much the gerbil. It was my position as a leader, as a head of the home, as a father, to teach my kids to pray for whatever that you need to pray for. Now let me just tell you, parents, that's the blessed thing that we have as adults, is to give an example to our kids. Can you get down on your knees and pray? They're not stupid things. They're not dumb things. They're things that are real to the kids. And let me tell you, God's concerned about them. He just as concerned about that as he would be about your life and what you do. You're an example, and that's important. To your children, that's an important thing. My dad prayed, and look what happened. Yeah, praise God for that. You never forget about that. So this morning, that's one of my examples of talking to God and having God answer your prayers and meet your needs. What a wonderful thing that is. So this morning, let's take your Bible and join with me on a passage of Scripture, because I've got a couple of that I want you to look at with me, and I'll share a few things from it. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, if you would, please. Luke's Gospel, and verse 17. In verse 17, you'll look there at verse 11, if you would, please. Chapter 17, verse 11. It reads this way, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they were going on their way, they were cleansed, the Bible tells us. And they lifted up, excuse me, I jumped verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, was there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God and save this stranger. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Listen, I want to talk to you about talking to God. Talking to God. You know, he's always listening. And the point is, where do I go to talk to God? Let me tell you where God is. He lives within your heart. You've got God with you all the time. It isn't making an appointment and going to see God wherever his office is. No, no, it's not that at all. He's there with you every day, every moment, and there's everything that happens to you. God is fully aware of what's going on in your life. When we got around the bed and prayed for gerbils, you know, I don't think God said, oh, no, you know, what, is, are they really going to do this? No, come on. I believe God was saying, you got it. You got it. Talking to God makes a big difference in our lives. It does. You can talk to God about anything and everything. You see, we're his creature and he's the creator. And he knows all about what we are, what we're like, and what our mind is like and what our heart is like. He knows all about that. Nobody else knows you like Jesus. And we need to keep that in mind. That you can't fool him and you can't trick him. He knows all about you. Give you another example about talking to God. Not only praying, but I'll tell you, right after, around February, before I got saved in March, February, of course, living upstate New York, wintertime. And I was coming back from the nightclub business about 2 in the morning. I was driving at the time. I had a 65 Mustang convertible. And I was driving up home and got into, and it snowed that night and it was windy. And so as I pulled in to go home, up the driveway had an incline to it. And on both sides of the driveway was a cement curbing about 8 inches high. So you had to stay right in the middle of the driveway to go up. And it was going up the hill. So when I got up there, and that thing swished around a little bit, and I accelerated a little bit, and sure enough, it hit the side of those concrete curbs, and the front tire on the right side broke the axle and fell under the body of the car. So I've got one tire in the front laying flat on its side, and of course the other one was this way, and the two in the back. So I said, it's 2:00 in the morning, it's snowing, it's cold, it's freezing, and this thing broke down. I accelerated and went up the driveway. The garage door was open, right in the door, shut the door, good night. Well, it stayed there about 4 months. And after I quit the nightclub business, I was like, I'll fix that old Mustang up and sell it. Okay, that's what I... So I backed it out of the garage. And I took all the tire and the rim and everything off, but the axle was cracked off, and it was so old, you know, rusted. Now here's the man's part. And then the mouse and the kids, that's a woman's part. This is the man's testimony. I'm sitting there looking at this thing, and how am I going to get this? Let's go down to the junkyard. Went down to the junkyard, got an axle that I could put back on there. I could take all this off, and so I was going to repair it. I got my socket set out, you know, real mechanic. I got my socket set with an extension handle about that long. And that tire's laying on its side with the axle rusted to it and corroded to it. And I'm trying to get it loose. And I'm pushing, squeezing, and I'm just having a fit. And I went on for about 2 hours trying to get it. I sprayed it with penetrating oil and everything else. I'm doing everything. I looked down and... Right across the end of the driveway was our house, the back door of our house. I look, and there's my wife looking out the kitchen window at me. You know, and I'm having a, I'm having a fit out there because I can't get this thing loose. And so she goes like this. Okay. I go in the house and have a cup of coffee, sit down. I sit down on the kitchen table and have a cup of coffee, and I'm sitting there thinking about one, driving me crazy. I gotta get this thing done. And she said, "Honey, did you talk to Jesus about this?" That's like getting hit in the head. "Did you talk to Jesus?" I wanted to say, "I don't think he knows anything about Mustangs," but I don't. No, I didn't talk to Jesus about it. So she said, "Well, don't you think you ought to?" I said, "Yeah." You know, that's like when the kids said to me, "Daddy, let's pray about the gerbil," you know? Now, I got a wife that turns around and says to me, "Did you talk to Jesus about your broken Mustang? Like God really cares about my broken Mustang?" It's different. It's not, well, you can't find it in the prayer book, you know, things like that. You think that God doesn't care about things like that, but he does. He cares about everything in your life. "No, I didn't pray. You know, I finally got to that. You know, on the inside, I'm getting a little hot inside. You know, no, I didn't pray." "Well, don't you think you ought to?" Okay. Get my cup of coffee and walk out. I go out to the garage. I'm out there by myself. She's right. I get down on my knees. I kneel in the garage. "God, I'm sorry. I just, you know, it's a dumb thing, but I need some help here. I don't know what to do. And I'm sorry I didn't come to you. God, actually, my wife is right. I'm sorry. I need some help here. I don't know what I'm doing, and this, if I can't fix it by myself." So I got through with that. I felt a little bit better, and I walked out into the driveway. And I'm looking at that tire and that socket handle. I look up at my wife. She's still looking out in the kitchen window looking at me. I walked over and I kicked the handle, the socket. It's a metal, you know. I kicked that thing, and that thing went right on the bolt. It was almost like God went and blew the handle. This thing undid itself almost to the very bottom of the treading on this bolt. It just went. And I went, done. Talking to God. I'm telling you, there's no subjects that you can't talk to God about. What does God know about a Mustang? Everything. He knows everything about a Mustang. He knows what it takes to fix it. He knows what it takes to keep it going. And he knows what I was doing. And he was just waiting for me to get around to him. Praise God for that. Hey, let me just tell you. Talking to God is what it's all about. It's talking with God, conversation. And when I kicked that handle and that thing started to unturn itself, I'm looking at it, and you know, all I could think about was, "Did you just do that?" I mean, that's just the way I felt. "Did you do that for me?" I'm excited. And my wife is looking out the kitchen window at this lunatic running around in the driveway because God loosened his tire. Talking to God. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with having a good time with God, laughing about it and crying about it and thanking God for what he's done. I mean, those things made a difference in my life. I'd only been saved 3 and 4 months when all those two little events took place in my life. But boy, they made a big difference in my life. That God is always there. And he's always interested in what your needs are. And so when I talk to him, and you need to know that God's waiting for you to talk to him. Talk to him about anything. Are you getting transferred somewhere? Talk to God about it. Yes, sir. Are you looking at your children and you've got some problems with some of your kids? Hey, talk to God about it. Your marriage not what it ought to be? Get a hold of God. Talk to him. I'll tell you what, he'd give you good advice, give you great advice, and show you just how to do it. So I tell you this morning a couple of events that made a difference in my early Christianity, getting saved. I realized God is concerned about everything in my life, and so is he concerned about everything in yours. There's no day that goes by that God said, I didn't hear from Joe Mandarino today, you know. Oh, no. I talked to him. Yeah. I'm not talking about getting down in prayer and knees and, you know, asking God for special things. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just everyday conversation with God. How am I doing today? How do you feel about God today? How is your relationship with God today? Oh, you didn't do what you said you were going to do? Or you didn't talk to God yesterday? Were you mad at him? You know, just kind of talking to God is the greatest blessing we've got. That God, the creator of all things, is waiting to hear from you. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. Well, we looked at these lepers, 10 lepers. And Jesus, you know, said to him, when they cried out to him, they knew about him and they called out for him. And he said to them with no uncertain term, listen, go see the priest because you've got to go through healing. So go see the priest. And on their way, can you imagine the conversations they must have been having? That Jesus, they were looking for him. They hollered to him. They couldn't go near him. But, you know, from a distance they said, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy. And he said to them, I've got more than mercy. I'll tell you what, go see the priest. And on their way, things happened. They were cleansed. But the sad part was, only one of them was grateful enough to realize what Jesus had done for him. Yeah, he went back and told them. Where's the other 9? They got cleansed. They got what they wanted. But I'll tell you what this one got. What's the Bible say about him? Well, when they got down, he said, where are the other 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. In verse 19, he said unto them, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Yeah. That little talk with Jesus makes a difference. And this is exactly what we got here this morning. Now take your Bible to Luke 19, if you would, please. Luke chapter 19. And look at verse 2. Well, it came to, well, remember, verse 1 says, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief of the publicans and was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature and short and couldn't see him. And he ran before him up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now watch this. And when they saw it, the people, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I had taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore it fourfold. Now watch Jesus' reaction. He said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus. He was so excited. You know, Jesus knew who he was. He knew all about him. I don't think Zacchaeus' testimony was something new to Jesus. You know, I've never taken anything that I didn't pay for. You know, I was always, you know, I did what God wants me to do. I've always been like this. Listen, he must have been very special in the sight of God, because when God was making his trip, his way through that place, that there was Zacchaeus. He didn't miss him. He knew he was up there. And he also knew what kind of a testimony he had too. He knew that he never stole from anybody, or if he ever took anything that was not right, he replaced it. He already knew about him. He was picked for salvation, no doubt about it. How about you? I wonder how many times you heard, how many times did you hear about being saved, becoming converted, and becoming a child of God? But you put it off. You heard it, you put it off. Listen, I preached all over the world. 3 different countries in Asia. I spent over 20 years. 17 years pastoring in Edmondville Baptist Church. I was the second pastor from that church. We're going to celebrate our 35 years this month. And God knows where we're best suited and where we need to be. And I just want to tell you, a lot of times things happen in our life and we say, that's not what I want to do. Well, let me ask you this. I think the best thing you could possibly do is ask Jesus, where do you want me? Where do you want me? You know, he can change everything. If he can change the health and the wealth of these 10 lepers, that by the time they got to the priest, they didn't have any sores. They didn't have any scars. They didn't have any white rashes all over their body. They were clean, cleansed. Now they got, the 9 got cleansed, but I'll tell you, the 10th one got the best of the whole deal. Amen. Why is that? He went back. He went back when Jesus said, you know what? You deserve this. I've cleansed you. Now we talk to Zacchaeus. We say to him, Zacchaeus, you live like this all your life. Yeah, that's what he did. He never stole from anybody or cheated anybody, and God already knew it. And when Jesus came through and he saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, he said, today I'm coming to your house. You know what that meant? He's going to into his life. He's coming into your life. What a great thrill that is. You know, when I got saved at midnight, I'll tell you what, it was 2-3 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I laid in bed and talked about what just happened. I don't know what just happened, but I know something's different. I know something got inside me, because I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep and I can't sleep, because what I'm thinking about is, am I really what the Bible says, a child of God? Because I asked Jesus to save me and I believe he will. And I believe the Bible. And sure enough, when we went to church on Sunday morning, that Easter Sunday morning, that church was averaging maybe 500. And I remember going in there, it's the first time I'd ever been to a Baptist church. So we went to a class, someone invited to one of their classes. And we sat there for the 30, 40 minutes of the Sunday school hour and said, well, that's it. Okay, let's go. And we started to walk out, and there must have been 450 coming in. And so when they came in, there we go, pushed back into, you know, I guess we better stay, you know. So we ended up in church services. And that went on. I'd never been to a Baptist church before. And I'm listening to their singing. I'm looking at people, got a smile on their face when they're singing. I mean, it looked like they were excited about it. Something's going on here. Yeah. I think I know what they're doing. I think I know how they feel. It's only been a few hours. But inside, when they sat there, and the pastor says, now listen, if you recently got saved, you need to make your way down to the altar so we can congratulate you and thank you for getting saved and coming to our church. And so I said to my wife, well, gee, he's talking about us. I said, come on, let's go. We walked down here. We stood right there. I'm standing here with my wife, and I'm in this church I've never been in before in my life. I don't know anything about what's going on. All I know is that I just met Jesus. And here I am standing with my wife in front of all the congregation, and they're looking at us. And I'm looking, I said, you know what? Half of these people work at Eastman Kodak, come to my nightclub during the day and eat lunch. Yeah, there's a lot of guys and women in here that come to our place to eat. And there's a lot of men here that I served booze to when they came. Woo! That opened some eyes. And I thought, here's what went through my heart. Had I died before Jesus saved me, these people that used to come and eat in my restaurant, in my nightclub, they're here in church, and evidently they know Jesus, but they never told me about him. Suppose I'd have died without Christ. And these people said, oh, poor old Joe, he was a manager over at the Red Robin nightclub. Oh, man, poor guy died. Yeah, poor guy died and went to hell because he never received Jesus as a Savior. But you're standing here in this Baptist church, and you come to my place, my nightclub, and you sit there and eat, and sometimes you sit there and drink alcoholic beverages, and I know that, you know that, but if something would have happened to me, would you have told me about Jesus? I wonder about that. Folks, let me tell you, talking to Jesus changes a whole lot of things in our lives. It changes our daily attitude about life. Yeah. Let me move on. In John chapter 4, John's Gospel chapter 4, I've really got to move on. Let me get this quickly. John chapter 4 and verse 1. You know this story. This is the story of the woman at the well. You recall that one? When the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard disciples and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, and then we go on, that he went to a place through Samaria, and he came to the city of Sychar. You remember that Jacob's well was there, and there was a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. And for his disciples were have gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living waters. Now watch her response. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Are thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us unto the water and well and drank, and thereof, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And you know, further on down, he told her who he was when he told her, I'm the one that gives you the water. I'm the one. The Bible tells us in verse 28, Jesus said unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he, the Savior. Praise the Lord. We think about these things and we see these examples from the Word of God, and we see that Jesus talking to people, ministering to people. It wasn't just a conversation or idle conversation. No, there was always a purpose in what he talked about. The woman at the well, if you read the rest of the chapter, she went to town and told everybody about what she had learned by meeting Jesus. And boy, they all came out of town and came to that place where Jesus was, and they said, what? You know, we believed your testimony, but now that we've heard him ourselves, we really believe him. Praise God for that. Let me move quickly. John chapter 3, and we'll be closing. John's Gospel, chapter 3. And you know this passage, and you know the character, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the Bible tells us that he came to Jesus. You recall that he came to him at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus and said unto him, Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus here is a teacher, a ruler, a great man of his religion, has said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. And I jump to verse 16, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Now this morning, I think I've given you enough thoughts, I pray, about your friendship, your part of life, your involvement with Jesus has to do with what happens to you in the rest of your days. It makes a difference. But the greatest thing that ever happened to a human being was to have met Jesus Christ. And when we did meet Jesus, he made a change. And I've talked to people, I mean, as a missionary, I love to talk to people. I enjoy talking to people. You ask Brother Corey that, and we went out to lunch and, you know, just talking to people. My wife says, you're a psycho case. You talk to people all the time. You talk to people you don't know. And you're always joking around with people. I said, girl, come here, waitress. What's your name? Don't you have a name tag? She said, no, I don't have a name tag. I said, well, how am I going to complain if I don't know who you are? You know, things like that. I you know, hold the door for people coming in and out of the restaurant. I'm holding the door. And so the guy said, no, I'll do that. Let me hold the door. You go ahead. I said, let me tell you, there's no tips. You know, if you're going to hold the door, you're not going to get paid for it. I said, the tips are terrible here. So, you know, get hold the door. My wife said, why do you do that? I'll tell you what, I get a chance to give them a track. Get a chance to talk to him about it. Let me just tell you, humor opens a lot of doors. It really does. It opens a lot of opportunities. I don't mean to be funny all the time, but I want to say this to you. It's important that we make an image, that we touch somebody's life, that we can do something. I can go back and give some of those people that I joked around with, I can go back and give them a track, and they get serious all of a sudden. Yeah, they do. You can drop off one of these and they're in their face and says, heaven or hell? Hey, I got something for you. You know, they expect a tip because they're waiting on me, and I give them a tip. I do. But I tell you this, this is important too. In fact, this will do more for you than a $20 tip. Don't you think? Yeah, it does. This afternoon, we need to realize what a great relationship this is that we have with Jesus Christ. Like Jesus knew where Zacchaeus was up in the tree. Maybe you're not getting his attention. Maybe you need to get a bigger tree to climb. I don't know what it's going to take. But I will say this to you. When you talk to God, do you feel like he's listening? Do you feel like he is there and that you're getting through to him? I want to tell you, it's so important that our relationship with the Savior is a relationship that we can talk to him anytime, anywhere, and talk about anything with Jesus. So this morning, yeah, we're at church, and we came here to hear the Word of God, and I hope and pray that I did that. But I would say this to you. When trouble comes along, hardships come, marriages break up homes, people get divorced, people are sick, and your loved ones are going to perish sometime. We're all going to go through death's door. But let me just tell you, the greatest thing we've got working for us as a loving Savior who gave himself so that you and I might be saved. So this morning, I'm going to ask you if you join me in prayer. And if you've got some trouble in your life and you got some things that you just don't know where to go and get an answer for it, I can tell you from experience, talk to Jesus. He'll clear up your problem. He'll give you understanding what's going on. And you can win. You can beat that problem by letting Jesus have his way. Let's pray. Would you mind? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And Father, I want to ask you this morning. First time we've ever been together and prayed. First time we've been together at this church. And I'm so thankful for it. I thank you for the pastor and his family and their blessed family. And I'm so thankful for them. But I'm thankful for everyone that's here this morning. But I pray this, dear God, is there someone here who's having difficulty in their Christian walk? Is there some here that have some doubts about being a Christian? Is there someone here who kind of dried up a little bit as far as their excitement in serving the Lord? Yes, we can go to church, but are we excited about what we've got? So I pray, Father, maybe there's someone here, man, woman, or child, that needs a lift. I ask you, dear Father, if you would reach down and pick them up and lift them up a little bit so they might know that you're there with them. I'm so grateful, dear God, for your love and your goodness. Thank you for Jesus and what he did at Calvary. And now I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do right now in the heart of these believers. There's some here that really need some uplifting, some encouragement. They need a little talk with you, and I pray that they would seek that. Until that happens, dear God, I thank you for loving us and all that you have done for us. Bless us, I pray. Bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen.